It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Yes, sir, Bay Area! Locked and loaded, ready to roll right here on 95.7 The Game. Nash Solomon here on the pregame show, filling in for Stephen Langford today on this wonderful Friday. When I say wonderful Friday, it's because the NFL was back last night, man. And wow. Wow, oh wow, what a performance from the defending Super Bowl champs that we know very well here in the Bay Area. The Kansas City Chiefs with a 34-20 win over the Houston Texans. And man, the Houston Texans just looked like they showed no signs of life. And it was so obvious that DeAndre Hopkins was absent. And really, last night was just a night where It really brought us back to a sense of normalcy. And it brought us back to a time where really football controls our weekend. I know we're not going to have quite the college football season we want to have. And I know it's not quite as many Power 5 teams that we want to see. But still, every single Thursday night, every Sunday, all day long from 10 a.m. till 8:30 when that Sunday night football game ends. And really this Monday we have a doubleheader. And every single Monday we're going to have football. And at least that's the way things are looking right now. And it's a season where there was no preseason and there was a very limited training camp. And last night, the display I saw on the field really didn't look like there was a whole lot of rust. It didn't look like that we were lacking a preseason, that there was an offseason that felt way too long. Because I get it. The Houston Texans didn't look fantastic. The Kansas City Chiefs looked all worldly. They look like they haven't skipped a beat. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked like everything they hoped he would be with the second they drafted him. Pat Mahomes, we know what he's capable of. And Deshaun Watson, he looked good if he actually had receivers out there, right? If he actually had talent around him. And David Johnson looked like he revitalized himself a little bit. And really the key for him is just staying healthy. But the point I'm kind of alluding to here is the NFL last night proved to us that, wow, they can jump right back into everything, and everything seemed normal for the most part. I mean, yeah, there was a very limited crowd, but at times, whatever the capacity, I think they had 20% in there, it sounded like a full-on crowd. It sounded like a normal NFL game. And again, this is probably because the way TV broadcasts are set up, there's mics in certain sections. And speaking of mics in certain sections, pregame, the Kansas City Chiefs and Houston Texans had a great moment of unity and met at the middle of the field for all the right reasons, for social justice and trying to find equality and coming together with that. And the mics picked up, obviously, noise you don't want to hear. And that comes with the very limited fans you have there and when you're playing a game in a state like the state of Missouri. So that comes as no surprise. So those are my immediate takeaways from the game last night from a broader point of view. We'll dive into it a little bit more in a little bit, but I kind of want to preview what we got going on the show today. So right now, we're talking NFL. We're talking the return of the NFL in the game last night. So 888-957-9570. Any immediate reactions that you have to the 2020 NFL season, the product you saw on the field last night, the game that you saw last night, the two teams that played last night, the way they played last night, did anything seem different than any other year before? Was there any huge drastic difference, or did it feel like a normal NFL opener? Because for me, all day leading up to it, I didn't feel like the NFL was back. I don't know. Maybe it's the whole pandemic. Maybe it's because I'm working this early shift that I'm not used to working. Something was just off. But the second that I saw kickoff, man, boy, oh boy, did those chills rush through my veins. And the second that I saw David Johnson and guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire find the end zone, I just got that rush again. And it started reminding me of all those 49er games last year that I had the fortunate luxury of going to. Shout out to my guy, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, for his season tickets. And it reminded me of every single Sunday when I watched my New England Patriots. And it reminded me of how different and how bizarre this season might be, but also how might entertaining that might be. Because I'm a type of person when bizarreness and havoc and any sort of controversy, I find compelling. Because how can you not find something compelling when there's the unknown around it? And that's what this season feels like. There's a whole lot of unknown. Now, I will say this. The crowd in Kansas City, having a very minimal crowd, at times you were able to hear it. And I think it was earlier in the game, and I think it obviously was being pumped up a little bit by the TV broadcast. Not saying they're pumping in crowd noise, but that mics are probably picking them up more than players can actually hear. I know Pat Mahomes talked about he couldn't really hear the crowd on the quote-unquote, not the quote-unquote, but he couldn't hear the point being he couldn't hear the actual crowd noise. He said he didn't really hear the booing, but he heard booing, so I'm not sure what he meant by that. We'll hear from him in a little bit. I'm sure the crowd mics picked it up a little bit. But just from a visual standpoint, Kansas City having very minimal fans out there, almost more awkward than just an empty stadium. And I think it's because we've gotten used to in sports seeing empty stadiums. Maybe it was almost weird seeing fans out there. And that kind of threw me off. But again, it seems like these players are out there playing with no pressure. Without a huge crowd or without crowds overall, which is what a majority of the league's going to have, there's not a whole lot of pressure. You're kind of just playing there. And it's just a pure football, sports, X's and O's type of mentality going out there. It's not like you're going out there and feeling the aura of the crowd and feeling like it's a pure entertainment value and so worried about the backlash that you'll get later on throughout a game. And I think that's where games can get interesting because there's not going to be a whole lot of home field advantage, right? And the one place in the 2020 NFL season where there is no home field, or where there will be a little bit of home field advantage, is probably a place like Denver, just because of altitude. The only home field advantage you have this year, really, is a condition like that. One where it's not created by fans. And teams like Seattle, who thrive, and the stadium is literally built and developed, the whole infrastructure of it is based on picking up sound. So that's where things get a little different. And last night, it didn't feel like Kansas City had any sort of home field advantage. I mean, you heard big crowd noise after a big play, but it wasn't like there was crowd affecting the Houston Texans and company. And by the way, the Houston Texans, they looked like a mess for one reason. And the reason's so obvious. You don't let go of the best player, one of the best players in the league. You don't let go of superstars. And I know you had to do it so you could pay Deshaun Watson and you could pay Laremy Tunsil. But again, how are you going to pay your quarterback? And yes, it's a quarterback-driven league. How do you pay a quarterback and get rid of not only his best weapon, but maybe his only weapon? Maybe his only weapon, that's right. Like, you can't trust guys like Will Fuller to be your number one. Hell, that first drive the Houston Texans had, their drive was cut short because Will Fuller dropped a back shoulder fade down the left sideline. I mean, these are things that literally hurts a quarterback. And you paid your quarterback all this money, yet you're not putting talent around him. And yes, I know you got the most you can get out of that trade and got David Johnson. And it wasn't too long ago. Well, maybe it was a long time ago. 2016, I guess, is close to 5 years ago. But it really wasn't that long ago that he was a spectacular player. Probably the most versatile and best running back in football. But again, he hasn't stayed healthy. I mean, the broadcast last night showed a graphic. That 2016 season, he had just as good of numbers as he had in his last three seasons since then. So, I mean, that's very telling of a guy that you brought in. And again, Houston Texans looked only good on one drive. I mean, Deshaun Watson, 20 of 32, 253, a touchdown. I mean, those aren't jaw-dropping numbers. And those are numbers that, I mean, it's a good day for him. I mean, he had an interception in there, too. It was late in the game, didn't matter. But 20 of 32, pretty efficient, 253, probably a little lower than what you'd want playing a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, like, a lot of that came late in the game in garbage time. Like, if you listen to our Waiver Wire Boys podcast we have here at 95.7 The Game, me and Ryan Covey, host of The Butcher Shop, we always talk about these empty calorie stats. Empty calorie stats. These stats that you're putting up in garbage time that makes you look back at the end of the game like, huh, maybe Deshaun Watson, like, I'm doing it right now, 20 of 32 for 253, maybe Deshaun didn't have that bad of a game. But I'm fooling myself right now, because that was all late in the game when they rallied off a few late drives. I mean, that's just the way things go. And Will Fuller finishes the day with what? 8 catches, 112 yards. I mean, he did not have a day like that. But when I look back at the box score, that's what it looks like. But again, the overall arching point here is in the NFL, and this is pretty important here in the Bay Area. Maybe not so much, but you guys are going to come down my road. I know you are, because every time I bring up Jimmy G, the text line just bombards me with all these, oh, you're the worst. Why do you hate Jimmy? Look at Jimmy's numbers last year. Blah, blah, blah. Well, 888-957-9570. I'm going to ask this question point blank. And if you think it's very valid for the San Francisco 49ers, so be it. If not, that's fine. But I want you to answer this question at 888-957-9570. How imperative is it to have a number one wide receiver in football? I'm not saying you need a top five receiver in the game. I'm not saying you need a top, maybe top 10 receiver in the game. But have a true solidified guy that is capable of being a number one option. I know we had Cecil Shorts on yesterday on the morning show, and he talked about area code receivers. You throw the ball in his area, and he's going to make sure he comes down with that. How imperative is it to have that guy? Or have a guy that you know your quarterback can trust, or a receiver you know you can trust in big moments in the game? 888-957-9570. How imperative is it to have that true number one receiver? Because last night, the display I saw from the Houston Texans and their ability to try lying to themselves and say that Will Fuller is their number one wide receiver, I was in awe. I was in awe. Because especially when you look at the team like the Kansas City Chiefs, they have weapons everywhere on offense. Patrick Mahomes can pretty much pick who he wants to be his number one wide receiver. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. There's days where Sammy Watkins looks like he's that receiver that was supposed to be a superstar in the NFL. I mean, I'm just curious. I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question because last night I saw a display from a team that was, I would say, pretty close to becoming a tier one football team last year in the Houston Texans. Obviously, the debacle they had in the playoffs, we all know about that. But they're pretty close to being a tier one football team. And all they really lost was that number one receiver. And now, and I get it, they're playing the defending Super Bowl champs, and maybe there is some rust involved, even though from my perspective, it didn't look like it was that rust-filled of a game. It looked like they just were simply not the better team. But they lost DeAndre Hopkins, and it seemed like they took 20 steps back. And they chose to pay Laremy Tunsil instead, which is very important. You got to protect your quarterback. But Deshaun Watson was running for his life all night. That's what it looked like to me, at least. So how imperative is it to have a true number one wide receiver? Especially when you paid all this money to your quarterback. And that could fit right here in the Bay Area. Because right now, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers have a great backfield, and they're a running football team. And I think Deebo Samuel is capable of becoming number one wide receiver soon. And George Kittle is obviously their true number one. Let's not get that twisted. But from a wide receiver perspective, and let's take Travis Kelce out of the mix for the Kansas City Chiefs, because I know I mentioned that a few minutes ago. So my apologies for that. So 888-957-9570. How imperative is it to have a number one wide receiver? And also, any reaction, any excitement, any thoughts, any questions on NFL Week 1, gambling picks, fantasy football, your pick'em pool, your survival pool. I don't care. I'll take anything. I just want to talk football here on 95.7 The Game, because that's all we're doing all day long, all day locked in, even going up to Sunday. Because Sunday, start with our guy JD and Whitey. They have you at 9 a.m. Sunday. Starts the NFL coverage, all 49ers. Then we got the kickoff show. Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky and Bonte Hill. Then the second that clock hits zero, 49ers, Arizona Cardinals. Get back to that dial. Get back to the radio.com app. It's overtime with Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky and Bonta Hill, the show with the best 49ers coverage. And right now, this is the pregame show, and I'm Nash Solomon, and this is 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir. Rolling here on 95.7 The Game. This is the pregame show. I'm Nash Solomon. Filling in for the great, nice guy, Stephen Langford. That's right. And we're excited here. All eyes on me because we're thinking of Tupac right now. Because guess what, NFL? All eyes are on you. All eyes are on you after last night. Kansas City Chiefs. They win the first game of the 2020 NFL season, and what a game, man. I know it wasn't a super close game, but just the fact we had football back, I was so ecstatic, I was so excited, and I wasn't excited all day yesterday. And when I was doing the show yesterday, I feel like I was lacking the football passion that I usually hold on game day. And I don't know what it was, that got into me, but man, the second that we actually had football, the second that there was kickoff, I felt it again. That rush got into me. And it just got me more excited for Sunday. It got me juiced for Sunday because we know how that usually goes. We know how Sunday in football goes. You don't think of anything else other than having game day. So we're sitting here on 95.7 The Game at 888-957-9570. I'm taking you guys' text all day long. That's the Chilton Auto Body text line. Any reaction to last night? Any thoughts to last night? Anything just about football being in back in general? The way that the product was on the field? The minimal fans? I know most games we're not going to see fans, but the minimal fans you saw last night. Did you have any thoughts about it? And I know I asked last segment at 888-957-9570, the Chilton Line by the text line one more time. How imperative is it to have a number one wide receiver? Because really, that was the story of last night. And really the offseason, one of the biggest storylines of the offseason, other than obviously everything that's going on in our country around football. But Deshaun Watson losing his star player. The Houston Texans losing their star player next to Deshaun Watson. DeAndre Hopkins being traded for David Johnson getting sent to Arizona in the very division that your San Francisco 49ers playing. The very same receiver you guys will see Sunday. And Deshaun Watson looked like a disaster last night because he didn't have his number one wide receiver. He didn't have a receiver that was able to create separation and get open on his own and be that quote-unquote area code wide receiver. Instead, he's relying on a guy like Will Fuller and a guy like Brandon Cooks who, throughout his career, has struggled to really be a true number one, has been a great wide receiver, but has struggled to be a true number one, and it never really stays healthy. And he didn't really do much last night. Got probably two catches for 20 yards last night. Nothing special. And Will Fuller ended the day with a decent stat line, but again, empty calorie stats that come late in the game in garbage time. So I asked that question, and we got some texts coming in from the 925. Shout out 925. I'm from that area too. Watson didn't look good. All those inaccurate third down jump passes. And I mean, he did have a lot of inaccurate third down jump passes, but again, that's probably not all on him. He doesn't have wide receivers getting open. He doesn't have help. He was running for his life. The offensive line looked absolutely abysmal, looked terrible. Not even sure where Laremy Tunsil was. And this is the guy that you pretty much chose over DeAndre Hopkins because you couldn't pay three different guys. So you chose to pay your quarterback, which, of course, quarterback-driven league, and you chose to pay the offensive lineman. And again, you pay your offensive lineman because you got to keep your QB healthy, right? So it makes sense. But man, you're not going to keep your QB healthy playing like that. Like, there's just absolutely no way. But the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I want to go back to the Kansas City Chiefs for a few minutes because I feel like I've been harping on the Texans a little too long and I've been bashing them because, I mean, for every right reason. But again, I just live by the mentality in all sports, really. These are star-driven leagues. When you have a star, you do whatever you can and everything in your power to keep them. For example, look at the New England Patriots. They lose maybe the biggest superstar of all time in sports. And I know Tom Brady was not good last year. I watched every single Patriot game. He was a shell of himself. And he didn't have a lot of talent around him offensively. He didn't have too many weapons. But they lost a solidified Hall of Famer, solidified one of the greatest to ever do it. And what did they do? Everyone thought they're going to roll with what? Jared Stidham? Sure, that'd be fine. Seems like the Bill Belichick thing to do. Grab the guy nobody's ever heard of and turn him into something. Same way Tom Brady turned into the star he was. But what they did was they found a way to get Cam Newton. And how was that way? Oh, wait till every team passes on him multiple times. And you get him for cheap. And it wasn't too long ago. I know it feels like it was a long time ago. But it wasn't too long ago that Cam Newton was an MVP. That Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. And now he's in a situation where it's so fluid and so luxurious for him that he has a chance to become a star again. And that's the point that goes back to the Houston Texans. Time and time again, Bill O'Brien has made mistake after mistake after mistake. Somehow still has a job. And somehow became the GM. And somehow had all the power to make the decisions from a front office perspective. And he moved on from a star. And they kept their star in Deshaun Watson. And the Texans are only a good football team. I would say great if this was 12 months ago. But now they're borderline good. And I know I'm having a reaction off one game. But the second they lost DeAndre Hopkins, I was already hammering that they're not going to be a very good football team this year. But the second they moved on from DeAndre Hopkins, everything changed. And Deshaun Watson, I mean, this Texan team has made the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. And the only year they didn't make it was when Deshaun Watson was hurt. But look what the 49ers did. I mean, they didn't have a quarterback a couple years ago. Jimmy Garoppolo was a quote-unquote rising star in New England on the bench waiting to take over Tommy. And they made the trade for him. They swung a deal for him. And the second they swung a deal for him, things turned around. I mean, remember that six-game stretch he had to start his campaign as a 49er? You saw it right there. Then the next year, gets the injury in Kansas City. And we thought, well, maybe this team's not going to be so good. And maybe that's what fooled us, that we thought they'd, at best, be an 8-8 football team. But they proved us wrong. And listen, I'm a huge Jimmy Garoppolo critic, because a part of me feels like he's just an elevated game manager. But at the end of the day, the Niners swung a deal because they thought they saw a potential star. And that's the Arizona Cardinals did. They saw a guy was available in DeAndre Hopkins, and they swung a deal. And they took that away from Deshaun Watson. And that's why everything you see last night proves everything about keeping every star possible. The 49ers did it again this offseason. They have George Kittle. They paid the money to keep him, because you have to keep him. And the 925 checking in again from the 925. This is real football, not fantasy. If you can't block the other team, a wide receiver doesn't matter. Well, yeah, you're right about that. But again, there's ways to go around having a bad offensive line. I mean, look at the Arizona Cardinals last year. They weren't a great football team. And Kyler Murray is a little bit of a different example, because I think they're going to have a good line this year. But Kyler Murray, an undersized quarterback, still a similar problem to having a bad offensive line, right? It's going to be hard to get the ball off. Hard for the quarterback to get the ball out of his hands. You get the ball out of his hands quicker. You run under routes. You run mesh routes, those crossing routes. I mean, there's ways to get creative when you have good receivers. Why all of a sudden is Deshaun Watson running for his life? Why last night was it so prevalent? And yes, Kansas City's defense isn't great, but they can get pressure on the quarterback because Frank Clark and Chris Jones. But why was it so prevalent last night? Because you don't have wide receivers to create separations. Deshaun Watson was running for his life, and it's not like he only had 1 or 2 seconds to throw. He was sitting in the pocket, and nobody was getting open. Those are almost coverage sacks. And if you don't believe it, go check the tape. Go check the tape. Because Deshaun Watson was scrambling around for 5 or 6 seconds. I mean, he's elusive, and I know he's a guy that can extend plays, but at some point, you got to put talent around your quarterback. And I can make the same argument this year for the San Francisco 49ers, and the same argument last year, and they addressed it. They brought in Emmanuel Sanders. You got to put talent around your quarterback, period, point blank. Because look at last year, New England, and I keep harping on New England because they're a perfect example of this. Tom Brady never really had great wide receivers put around him, or big true number one, big name wide receivers anyway, for any other reason. And last year when Brady needed help, it was more prevalent more than ever. And it was so obvious. And look where he is now. In a situation where he has two number ones. A situation where he has Rob Gronkowski, who I think is going to play very minimal games. I don't think Gronk's going to play too many games, because I think they're going to save him for the playoffs. He has other tight ends that have been there. And now he has Leonard Fournette. I mean, you got to put talent around your quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, so put your quarterback in a position to flourish. And again, this year, the 49ers, I mean, are we so sure they're not going to swing a deal? Are we so... Okay, the 925. Thank you, 95. Yes, Brady had Randy Moss that 1 year. I'm glad you picked out the 1 year out of 20 years in New England to try invalidating my point. Thank you. The point being, you put talent around a quarterback. And if you don't believe that, look what the Kansas City Chiefs have built around Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, all worldly. He would flourish in any environment. But how do you make him flourish, become more? How do you make him flourish more and become more of who he really is? The perfect fit of talent around him. Speed, 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 and talent. Travis Kelce, top 2 tight end in football. Tyreek Hill. I would say he's probably a top 5 wide receiver in football. He's definitely probably the fastest receiver in football. What did they do last year? They won a Super Bowl, and with their first round pick, they drafted a running back that would help who? Patrick Mahomes. They didn't address defensive issues. They put more talent around Patrick Mahomes. That's what you do in the NFL. You get a quarterback, you win with a quarterback, and you put talent around your quarterback. I mean, the 49ers did it this year. I know they traded and got 2 first round picks. But still, Brandon Ayuk, first round wide receiver. It's obvious, folks. It's an offense-driven league. Yes, you need a great defense. And if you have a great defense, you have a chance to contend because not many teams have a great defense that can carry you to the Super Bowl the way the 49ers did. But guess what? The 49ers found a way last year to flourish offensively so different from the rest of the league, and that was on the ground. And they had a backfield. They had a backfield that had three or four different guys that could do a lot of different things. And that's just how the NFL works. I mean, again, Arizona Cardinals, they have this young quarterback in Kyler Murray, right? And I'm super high on the Cardinals this year. And I know a lot of people are too, which whenever a team has this much hype going into the season, they never really live up to the expectations. But I'm going to ride it out because I do think they have talent, and I do think their offense is such an anomaly that it's going to be so different and away from the normal curve of the NFL that that's what's going to make them good. I mean, it's going to be so tough to game plan for them because they're just so drastically different. It's like the Golden State Warriors a couple years ago. I truly think the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not saying they're the Warriors. Don't think I'm reaching with this point. I'm not saying they're going to rally off into some dynasty. But in terms of the offense that they're creating, it can change the game of football. I mean, it's already a passing league. They're going to change that to a whole other level and elevate it even more. And they're really creating the statistic of pace in football. I mean, they're going to rally off more snaps than anybody. And they believe the more snaps, the more opportunity, the better we are. And with that being said, because they feel like they're trending in the right direction. And again, it's only Kyler's second year. And we're going to see this Sunday. And I think Sunday will be very telling of how this team will perform throughout the year. Because again, game one, last night I felt like I didn't see too much rust. But again, these teams have had no preseason. But if this team can flourish on Sunday against a team like the 49ers, who is definitely a favorite in the NFC, there's no question about that, then that's going to tell you everything you need to know about them and why they went out and got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins in year number two. Because when you have your quarterback, you put stars around him. And you put talent around him. You at least try to draft talent around him. Who did the Houston Texans bring in the offseason at wide receiver? What, Randall Cobb? What is Randall Cobb? What has Randall Cobb done in the last 4 years? I mean, when was the last time he was ever a number one? I'm pretty sure his best years was when he was the number two in Green Bay, and he was always open, so he was playing next to guys like Davante Adams. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of harping on the same point here, but I think it's so valid. I think it's the same way in the NBA and in all sports. Sports always focuses on get stars whenever you get a chance, and when you have the stars, you do everything in your power to keep them. And going into this Sunday, San Francisco 49ers, they got the Arizona Cardinals coming to town. And it'll be a good test. It'll be a good test for both teams. Because I think last year, the Cardinals played the 49ers pretty tough. And I think it's a good challenge for this 49ers defense with a team like the Arizona Cardinals that have all this hype, that have a top two or three wide receiver in football. Probably the best receiver in football not named Michael Thomas. And I think DeAndre Hopkins probably has better talent and ability than Michael Thomas. I really do. I really do think that. And this 49er defense is heading into a Super Bowl hangover year. And really, I mean, we saw it last night with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go back to the Chiefs for a second here. Look at how loaded they are offensively. And by the way, the Chiefs defense in that first half, I'm sure every Niner fan was ripping out their hair thinking, how did we lose to that defense? I mean, they made the Houston Texans look good for a couple of drives there. They made David Johnson look like he revitalized his career for a couple of drives. But again, it was kind of a fluky drive because we saw it the rest of the game. And the Chiefs defense did get a little better. But look at this Chiefs offense that the Niners had to play in the Super Bowl. This is why they really lost. And I know I'm kind of going back in time here. But it got better. Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who looked like everything they hoped he would be the second they drafted him in the first round. Again, drafted a running back in the first round to help your quarterback. Then you got Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. Even Mecole Hardman has Tyreek-level speed, has chances to be something special week in and week out. DeMarcus Robinson, I know he dropped the touchdown, but it wasn't too long ago. I believe it was the Raider game last year. So the Bay Area should know this very well. Rallied off three touchdowns in an individual game. Darrell Williams last year kind of played that LeGarrette Blount role for the Chiefs. When they were up in games, he would close the game for them. Star-studded team. And that's what's coming in this Sunday. So So the 49ers' last game was against a star-studded offense. And now this Sunday, they're picking up right where they left off. Arizona Cardinals, nowhere near the Kansas City Chiefs offense. But again, playing a star-driven offense. Kyler Murray, elevating rising quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins, top wide receiver. Don't need to harp on that. Christian Kirk, really good young wide receiver. Oh, guess who their third option is in Arizona? Larry Fitzgerald. Maybe one of the single greatest and most consistent and longevity wide receivers of all time. And somehow at a million years old, is still doing it at a pretty high level. So this Sunday, and I think I'm just excited, so I'm just ramping on the Arizona Cardinals and 49ers right now because football is back. And at 888-957-9570, this is your chance to ask anything football related. Now, I wanted to come in here and talk a little NBA playoffs because we got a huge Game 7 tonight. And I'll probably get that in a little bit if I have time. I only have about 25 more minutes here. But when football is back, football is king. And man, yesterday, like I said, I wasn't excited. Like, I didn't feel the excitement. I didn't feel like football was really back. And I think it's because throughout this whole pandemic, it seemed like there's been so many challenges and struggles for sports to come back. And none of them started on time. All of them started later than the anticipated date. And again, football somehow started on the right date. And it had the luxury of doing so because it started the latest. But still, a sport where there's easily 100 guys on one field because, what, 53 between each team. That's damn near around 100 right there. Now you factor in coaching staff, training staff, stadium personnel, security. I mean, there's close to 200 people on a field, 200 individuals on the field. And now some stadiums are having fans. For whatever reason that is, of course, the state like Missouri. What is it? Missouri, Texas, and Florida. Those teams can have fans. Don't really see the point of it. I mean, it's only at a 20% level capacity. I don't really see the point of it. At that point, you might as well just make it empty. And I think all these other sports without fans have done a fantastic job. The NBA bubble, I haven't even noticed there's no fans. But 888-957-9570, I want to know your reaction to what you saw last night. Is it weird seeing the fans out there? Are you surprised football is back? How excited are you that football is back? Any 49er take? Your Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders, you got any takes on them? I'm listening. I love Henry Ruggs III. He's my offensive rookie of the year. I got him in a ton of fantasy leagues. I think the guy has a chance to be a complete superstar. And I think in year one, he has a chance to be really special because when you have that type of speed, you are the key to unlocking the offense, especially for a struggling quarterback like Derek Carr. So I think there's a lot to be excited about that in Las Vegas. Any fantasy questions? I'm taking those too. All right, in about 10 minutes here on the other side, I'm still staying with you guys for 5 minutes, but in about 10 minutes here, I'm going to give you guys my five storylines that I'm excited to follow and I hope you'd follow. So you're going to stay tuned for that. That'll be at about 5:47. But since I brought up Game 7 and I said I wanted to talk basketball, spare me 5 minutes here. These 5 minutes to talk Game 7, talk NBA playoffs. And the game last night. I don't know how many of you guys got a chance to watch Lakers-Rockets last night because obviously NFL was on. And when NFL's on, NFL's king. And you saw the NBA agree with that very statement I made. They moved up the Los Angeles Lakers and Houston Rockets, two of their most prime brands right now, two of their most premier teams right now, and they moved them to a time slot that was before the Kansas City Chiefs-Texans game last night. They played them at 4 o'clock. They played them at a time that was when people are still working in those teams' respective time zones. I mean, I'm a Los Angeles native. 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock? The only time there's ever been a game that early was maybe like a Sunday matinee game or the seeding games in the bubble. And even then, they still would do their best to put all the West Coast teams like the Lakers and Clippers on the latter end of the day. So you saw that right there. That alone just proved the NBA has no chance competing with the NFL. And it's going to be tough. These NBA playoffs, I haven't looked that far down the schedule. Not even know if it's really out. But for the conference finals and the NBA finals, do you avoid Sundays? Do you play games on Monday night? I mean, how do you compete with the NFL? I'm sure at some point you can easily play Thursday games. You probably can play Monday games too because Monday night football and Thursday night football are doo-doo nowadays. They're not too great. But let's go back to the games last night. So the Los Angeles Lakers get a 3-1 lead on the Houston Rockets. and the Houston Rockets look like they have no life left in them. And they went all in on this, not just small ball, but micro ball. And this micro ball involving Russell Westbrook and James Harden, it's all about them, and surrounding them by wings. I mean, P.J. Tucker, 6'6", 6'7", he's now your center. And honestly, he's completely capable of doing it, and he's knocking down shots at a high level. Robert Covington, remember that big anticipated trade that they wanted to make and they finally did? Yeah, that was for Robert Covington. That's their new quote-unquote power forward. And then surrounded by other shooters like Ben McLemore, Daniel House. And I think we're learning this is not going to work. And they're trailing 3-1 against the Los Angeles Lakers. And this is a series where the Lakers literally gravitated towards what the Houston Rockets are doing. They went a little smaller. Anthony Davis harped on, I'm not playing center. I don't want to play center. And this series, he's played more minutes at center than power forward because he finally sucked it up and stopped crying and played center like he should in modern day 2020 NBA basketball. And a part of me believes after seeing the Lakers, and again, they're the higher seed here, they should win this series. They were supposed to win this series. But in a weird environment with a weird team like the Houston Rockets that's capable of getting hot at the right time, and in an environment that feels like it's a March Madness environment, an AAU circuit, this was their chance. And I know it's only year one of Harden and Westbrook. And they barely started doing micro ball in February, late February, when they finally moved on from Clint Capella. But you start to question, do they already get rid of this plan? Do they already give up on the Daryl Morey spreadsheet, as everyone in the Bay Area loves to say? Do they already give up on this plan? And my honest answer is probably, because what we're learning here is Russell Westbrook and James Harden, it's too hard for them to play with each other. It's just way too hard. And I'm not going to go on about that game too much because I want to talk about the Celtics-Raptors game tonight really quick. And it's a game seven. And I truly believe Celtics have done damn near everything in their power. Everything in their power to give this series away. I mean, the OG Anunoby three-pointer, that really saved the series for Toronto. And you can say something as little as putting Taco Fall on the floor, who just because he's 7'5" or 7'6", he can defend Kyle Lowry on that inbound. But again, he's not athletic. And that's why Kyle Lowry makes one ball fake. There goes Taco Fall flying. But that was just one example. But on the other side, I'm going to spend a few minutes on why Boston should and will win tonight, and why they will be in the NBA Finals. And I'm also going to give you guys my five must-follow storylines of the 2020 NFL season. I'm Nash Allman, the pregame show. Stay there. I'm going to be gone just for 2.5 minutes. And I'll give you guys my five must-follow stories of the NFL this season. Nash Allman, the pregame show. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Nash Allman here back on the pregame show, filling in for Stephen Langford. This is the pregame show, and we've been talking football all hour long. I'm excited, man. And I know in the Bay Area, you guys should be excited too. This is the redeem season. That's what I'm going to call this one, the redeem season. Go prove yourself, Niners. Go get the one that you let go in that last 6 minutes of that Super Bowl. It's going to be tough because damn, Pat Mahomes looked good. Damn, oh damn, did he look good. And I know I said before the break, I was going to talk about this game seven tonight. But we're skipping that. We're staying on football because the fantasy football texts are coming in. And I want to get to my five pressing storylines that you got to follow this year. And the ones that I know I'm going to be following week in and week out, baby. So coming in, I'm going to go to some fantasy questions really quick from the 415. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire in my fantasy league. Should I be concerned that he didn't get into the end zone on any of the 5 or 6 goal line plays? And I'm going to say no, because read the latter part of that sentence. 5 or 6 goal line plays. The fact that he's getting opportunity is everything. That's how fantasy works. People have this misconception that it's all about actual production. And at some point it is. But really it's just about opportunity. And people always get weird. I know, like, my guy Bonta Hill, he trashed on my fantasy team in our 95.7 league because I got guys like DJ Chark Jr. and Scary Terry McLaurin. They're on bad football teams. But that's opportunity. A team's trailing. They're going to air it out to those guys in garbage time. For your sake, 415, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The fact that they want to feed him the rock so much, which, by the way, if the Kansas City Chiefs can run the ball all season long like they did last night, good luck, NFL. Good luck. Because not only will they have the most scary and talented and unstoppable passing game, but now they have a running game that's a legit threat. And that's where they spent a first-round pick on the kid out of LSU. And keep in mind, he was probably the best receiving back in all of college football last year. So I would say you should be ecstatic. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I was a little skeptical about him going into the season because Kansas City has so many guys in offense, but I've always lived by this theory. Play any Kansas City Chief you have in fantasy because at the level of offense they play, anybody has a chance to be due for a big game. From the 707, fantasy question, Gurley versus Seahawks, Hollywood Brown versus Browns, Juju versus Giants, or AJ Green versus Chargers looking for one flex. I would go Gurley because I don't know if you're in a PPR league or not, but Gurley's going to have the most opportunity. I think he's going to have a huge bounce back year in Atlanta. No pressure to really become that superstar he was like when he was in LA. When he was in LA, it felt like the Rams every single game were trying too hard to force feed him and put him in positions where he was going against a stacked box. And also, this is weird, but I like to look at the psychological aspect of things in sports. He's back home. He's from Atlanta. He's going to be more comfortable than ever. And I think Atlanta struggled from not having a better run game last year. And that's why they really regressed so much. And of course, losing Kyle Shanahan a couple years ago hurt them too. But I would go Gurley. And right here from the 707, once again, David Johnson is going to be a fantasy steal of the season. Got him in all my 12-man leagues in the fourth round. I think you're right. Because listen, if you listen to our Waiver Wire Boys podcast here on 95.7 The Game, me and Ryan Covey and our guy Lucas Alexander, who produces the Damon Ratto and Kolsky, excuse me. I should know. I work on that show too. We talked about David Johnson. And when you give up your superstar, who I harped on this whole hour, don't give up superstars. When you give up a superstar, whatever you get in return, that's what your investment is. Like, they already have so much investment into David Johnson just because they gave away their superstar for him. So, of course, it was a money thing. They couldn't pay DeAndre Hopkins. But they also had to have some belief in David Johnson returning to that 2016 David Johnson he was when he had the most all-purpose yards in the league. So I think you're right, and if you got him in the fourth round, I think that's a win. I hope you're in a 12-man league because, again, there's probably good options if you're just in a 10-man league and you got him in the fourth round, but that's fine. All right, let's get to my five, and I have about 8 minutes here before we get to Coz, Low, and Dibs. You're not going to want to miss that because great NFL coverage right before the 49ers opening weekend. You're going to want to hear that, and we know Coz, we know Low, we know Dibs. They're all big football guys, so this is what we're going to do here. I'm going to give you guys my five pressing storylines before this ends, and I'm going to start right here. Cam Newton in New England. That's obviously, for me, the number one storyline that you have to watch for obvious reasons. A guy that at one point was a superstar. He's in the most potent environment in football where anybody can flourish. Guys you've never heard of have become stars in New England. Guys that have been on the back end of their career or have regressed came to New England and their season was brought back to life. I mean, Darrell Revis was trending downwards. He comes to New England, he wins a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. So more on Bill Belichick. Obviously greatest coach of all time. No question about that. Maybe the greatest coach in sports in general of all time. Dare I say any more about that? And Josh McDaniels, one of the best play callers in football, one of the most creative play callers in football. So now you have the Patriots that can do twice as much with this offense from a schematic standpoint because they have a more versatile quarterback, and there's reports coming out that they believe he can still be a great rusher. And let's not forget, Cam Newton, most rushing touchdowns of all time by a quarterback. Other storyline you have to follow that breaks my soul and breaks my heart. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, or in Tampa Bay, I should say. Tom Brady, for the first time in his career, has two, not just one, but two legitimate number one wide receivers. Two guys that are maybe top eight receivers in all of football. Has a coach in Bruce Arians, who has this high-octane aerial assault offense that the Patriots failed time and time again to let Tom Brady do. And a part of me believes that Tom Brady's makeup and DNA will be all over this team, and they'll still do their best to be a really balanced football team. And that's why they brought in Leonard Fournette. I mean, it's going to be ground and pound one drive, aerial assault next drive. West Coast, let's get the ball out quick, throw everything underneath. Next storyline, Kyler Murray's sophomore campaign. Do I even need to say any more than what I've said all hour? I mean, this guy has superstar potential because he's an anomaly. And this offense is a Big 12 offense in the NFL. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to play at such a high pace, they're going to rally off more snaps than anybody in the league. And more snaps, more opportunity. More opportunity, more chance for success. That's how I look at things. That's how I look at life. So I think Kyler Murray, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, Kenyon Drake, who rallied off an insane final 8 games of the season, and guys like Andy Isabella, who fit that offense perfect, similar to what the receiving corps looks like in Kansas City. Get speed around your quarterback. Get talented guys that fit what you're trying to do. They're trying to play fast. They get fast receivers. Christian Kirk, a young, quote-unquote, rising wide receiver. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget about Larry Legend. Larry Fitzgerald, your fourth option on that offense. Whew! I'll take that any day of the week. Now, here's where I might lose you, so please listen closely. The Denver Broncos and their offense. Drew Lock last year, what did he go, 5-1 in his starts? And I know he didn't put up crazy numbers, but look what he has around him. Melvin Gordon is a guy that not too long ago was one of the most versatile running backs in football and one of the best running backs in football. I don't know if he can get back to that form, but hell, when he's sharing duties with a guy like Philip Lindsay, that's talent. I mean, that's talent. And Cortland Sutton, I know he went down with an injury yesterday, but he's been breaking out the last 18 months. And they drafted Jerry Jeudy, maybe the best wide receiver in this draft. I love Henry Ruggs, but one of the best wide receivers in this draft. So he has talent around him, and I think Drew Lock and that offense have a chance to be something special. And I know they're in the same division as the Kansas City Chiefs, so that makes things tough to win the division. But watch the Denver Broncos. It's an offense that I think has a chance to be something special. I like Drew Lock. Let's not forget, 18 to 24 months ago, Drew Lock was the consensus number one pick. Drew Lock was a quote-unquote lock to be the number one pick. And obviously, things didn't work out so much at his time in Missouri. But he has the makeup of what a vintage pocket present quarterback is. And he won games last year. He started to win games with a lack of talent around him. Well, not a lack of talent, but talent that was still developing. And now he has more developing talent around him. So there's no question about that. So that's storyline number 4. Last story, storyline number 5. And I think I'm going to lose you again. But please, the Indianapolis Colts and Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers in a new atmosphere, new environment. He's in an environment where he's not going to be asked to toss the rock every single play and put himself in position to lose games. They're going to run the ball so much, they might be leading games and just start to burn clock. And they have a Super Bowl potential roster. Probably the best offensive line in football. They drafted Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, who, by the way, in college, was maybe the best ground game running back, downhill running back, that we've seen in recent years. And you're adding that behind one of the best offensive line in football. And oh yeah, they still have Marlon Mack. And oh yeah, T.Y. Hilton, he stays healthy, fast receiver, unlocks the defense, takes the quote-unquote top off the defense that we like to say in cliche terms. Sure. And guess who else they drafted? Michael Pittman Jr. I've seen this guy play his entire life. He's always been a big body possession receiver that knows how to create separation. So how can you knock that? I mean, they have legitimate threats all over the field. And on defense, oh yeah, they still got DeForest Buckner coming in. They still got Darius Leonard, who wasn't too long ago the defensive rookie of the year. And man, you guys know DeForest Buckner real well. And by the way, Frank Reich, he had Jacoby Brissett start 5-2 last year. So what do you think he can do with Philip Rivers? Like, come on now. Come on now. So that's my 5 storylines you got to watch. Quick gambling picks to go into the weekend. I like Patriots -6.5. I know that sounds like a homer pick. I said I'm a Patriot fan. But they're playing Miami, and I think Cam Newton has something to prove in his first game back. I think they want to have a pure statement game. Okay, so that's my one lock that I love. I also like the points with Seattle over Atlanta. I think they're -2.5. I think Atlanta's going to play well. I think Todd Gurley's going to have a big game. But again, that defense still is nothing special. So I take the points there, and it's in Atlanta, sure, whatever. It's in a dome, but no fans. So there's something to factor into there. All right, coming up next, Coz, Low, and Dibs. It's the Friday before football. It's the Friday before the 49er faithful start their campaign. So stay locked in on 95.7 The Game all day long. because we're going to have great guests for you. We're going to have great content, and we're going to have just great back and forth on every single show. And don't forget, Sunday, starting at 9 a.m., Whitey Gleason, John Dickinson, 9 a.m. They start our NFL Sunday. After that, the kickoff show, Joe the Butcher Wojciechowski and Vontae Hill. And when that clock strikes zero, it's overtime, baby. That's right. I'm Nash Allman. Thanks for hanging out with me. NFL Sunday. Let's go!